You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Welcome into another week, Monday, October 15th, 2019, halfway through the month of October already, and now officially done with the Raiders bye week. So now, every single week until the end of the season, there is Raiders football each and every week. Either Thursday, Sunday, whatever it is, there is Raiders football every single week the rest of the football year, and no more having to wonder what the world do I do on Sunday when there's no game like there was no game on yesterday. But again, coming off that big victory in London, the Raiders deserved a week off, right? Absolutely no doubt about that. So looking forward now, the Bears are behind the Raiders, and now it's time to look forward to the Green Bay Packers, and we'll definitely be talking about the Packers, that game, all week long. But on today's show, I got a lot of things for you. I got your calls coming up in segment number 3, Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line, always wide open like some old school TV antenna, 707-654-4693. In segment number 2, I'm going to talk about the bye week being over. How can the Raiders build off their early success? 3-2 after 5 games going into the bye week. A lot of Raider fans would have taken that and said, hey, that's awesome. That's a great move. And it is. And that's a great accomplishment, being 3-2 after 5 weeks. But now, how do you take that and how do you build off that if you're John Gruden and the Raiders? You can't just rest on that. I mean, if we look back at the end of the season, all of a sudden it's like, well, they were 3-13 on the year. That's not a victory. That's not good. You know, so they got to take that 3-2, that early success, and build on it. So in segment number 2, I'll definitely talk about that and how I think that they're going to navigate through the rest of the schedule, including the next 2 games on the road that are going to be tough ones, one against the Packers this week and then the following week against the Houston Texans. Here in segment number 1, I'm going to give you the news and the notes of the day as always. But before I get into that, I want to tell you about Peloton and let you know that they're offering a limited time offer. You can get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike, and you can get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. Now, the news and the notes that I want to give you really come by way of fines. On Saturday, it was announced by the NFL that left guard Richie Incognito, he had received 2 separate fines for 2 separate penalties that he received, and it was $21,054 in total money that he has to pay the league for penalties that he had in Sunday's game against the Bears over in London. The first penalty, I'm sure all of Raider Nation remembers, it was in the first quarter, the very first drive. It was that unnecessary roughness penalty that caused the Raiders to move out of field goal range. They ultimately had to punt when they had an opportunity to kick a field goal, but because of that penalty, it kicked them out of field goal range. And I remember as soon as that happened thinking, man, that could really, really hurt the Raiders in the long run. And we all know how the game shook out. We all know how the final score was, 24-21. And again, the Raiders were able to pull that game out. But just imagine if they had lost by 2 points, 3 points, whatever. It would have gone back and thought back and looked at that penalty and thought, man, that was a major one. Again, but that's a Richie Incognito type penalty. That's one where he was getting up off the ground and he just basically used the guy's helmet and the guy's head to get himself up off the ground. And so with Richie Incognito, you know that that's going to be called every single time. And I know there's a lot of Raider fans right now that are saying, well, yeah, but there's a lot of guys around the league that do stuff like that. Hell, Jameis Winston did that just last week and didn't get a fine, didn't get a penalty, anything. But Jameis Winston also does not have a history of being a dirty player either. I mean, similar to going back to Vontaze Burfict, and I don't want to always have to go back to Vontaze Burfict, but your reputation follows you. Richie Incognito was a controversial signing when the Raiders signed him. As a matter of fact, half of Raider Nation didn't even want him on the squad. Matter of fact, half of Raider Nation probably still doesn't want him on the squad. But we all know that he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a left guard, and your talent is going to trump your issues that you may have. And Richie Incognito, we all know, has issues. And so he's going to be one of those guys that officials are going to look at, the league's going to look at, and they're going to try to make an example of, similar to what they did with Vontaze Burfict. I had someone hit me up on Twitter and say, hey, you think Incognito's going to get suspended for that? And I said, no, I don't think so. But it was a good question because Incognito's reputation absolutely follows him. The other penalty he got was a chop block penalty. It happened in the second quarter, and that also, I believe, no, that didn't kick him out of field goal range. They ended up settling for a Carlson field goal because of that. But, yeah, man, that was another one, and that was just a chop block penalty, but that got another fine. So his fines were $21,054 total, and that's what it is. It's Richie Incognito, so I'm not upset about that, not worried about that, not sweating that, because, again, you kind of know what you're going to get when it comes to Richie Incognito. Now, the other fine that was dialed up by the NFL, I have a real issue with, real problem with. Mo Hurst, defensive tackle Mo Hurst, he received a single fine for $21,056 for a roughing the passer penalty on Bears quarterback Chase Daniel. Now, remember, that was the penalty that took away defensive back Daryl Worley's interception. We all said that that was not a good penalty. We all said that that was a false penalty, should have never been called for that. As a matter of fact, to double down, the NFL even said that that shouldn't have been called a penalty. So if you're not going to call that a penalty, and the league admits that it was a bad call, it shouldn't have been a penalty, how in the hell are you going to fine this young man? How are you going to fine him $21,056 for something that shouldn't have even been called a penalty? I don't understand where the justification is in that. That's my issue. Again, I'm never going to sit here and cry foul and say, oh, the league hates the Raiders and the Raiders get the worst everything. But now you got to look at that and say, what in the world? You got to have a big question mark and say, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Why would you fine a man for something that shouldn't even been called a penalty? And again, Mo Hurst did everything he could to not land his full body weight on Chase Daniel. I mean, his arms came from underneath him, so he wasn't carrying him and driving him into the ground. That's exactly textbook on what they tell you that you're supposed to do. Get your arms from around him. Don't land squarely on top of him. Try to land to the side. Mo Hurst did that to a T. Should never been called a penalty. Daryl Worley should have had an interception, and as sure as hell shouldn't have given Mo Hurst a fine. What are you giving a fine for a legal play? That I don't understand. That I have a real problem with. I really, really do. And I would like an explanation. And I know the league don't owe me an explanation. The league don't owe you an explanation. It don't owe anybody an explanation except for Mo Hurst and the Raiders. Where in the world do you come off giving a fine for something that wasn't even a real penalty? Again, the league has already admitted that the penalty was a bad call. Shouldn't have called that. Dean Blandino said it, and I know he's not an official now. He's just on Fox. But he said it as well. Yeah, that's not a penalty. The NFL has said, yeah, that was a bad call. Okay, if you admit all that, why are you going to double down on the bad call and say, yeah, it was a bad call, but we're still going to fine you? Justify that to me. I don't understand that. Max Crosby, he got hit with a similar fine earlier in the year in week two when he hit Patrick Mahomes, and that I didn't agree with either because Patrick Mahomes still had the ball in his hand. And Max Crosby just put his arms up. Yeah, he got the quarterback, he hit the quarterback, but again, with the ball still in your hand, man, you're still legal. I never understood that one, but he got hit with that same fine, that $21,056 fine that Mo Hurst received. Now, both guys are appealing these fines, and we'll see how it shakes out. Richie Incognito, I don't expect them to rule any differently. He's just going to have to go ahead and sign that check over, $21,054. He's going to have to sign that over. Mo Hurst, I'm not signing that check. I'm just not. And I know he has to. He doesn't have any option. But I couldn't get myself to do that. How in the world am I going to pay $21,000 for something that was a legal play that has been admitted by you was a bad call? So when that came down on Saturday, that really blew my mind. I saw a lot of people on Twitter kind of wondering what in the world's going on and why is this happening. I don't have any explanation. You know, and so that kind of leads to the conversation where people say, well, the league just hates the Raiders. That's the reason why people say stuff like that, because of a fine like that. That doesn't make any sense. There's absolutely no sense. There's no rhyme and reason to why he got that fine. There is none. If someone could tell me exactly what it is, I'll wait. I would love to hear it. 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Twitter, @YourBoyQ254. You can always find me on Twitter any time of day. Definitely hit me up. I would love to know the justification on giving a guy a $21,000 fine for a play that was legal. Coming up in segment number two, now that the bye week is over, how can the Raiders build off their early success? I'll talk about that then. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it's going to work. Yeah, fellas, you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. Matter of fact, blue, like the color blue, bluechew.com. You can take it anytime, day or night, full stomach or not. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready to go whenever that opportunity arises. It's real, real simple. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And since they're made in the USA, Blue Chew prepares and ships direct. They are cheaper than a pharmacy. So again, fellas, if you want that extra boost in the bedroom, maybe you want to go, you know, two, three, four rounds instead of just one round, instead of a one-hitter quitter. You know, maybe you want to go a couple, multiple rounds. Blue Chew could help you do that. You know, you could just get that extra little, that little turbo boost that you may need. Right now, for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners, you can go to BlueChew.com, get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, like the color blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com. Promo code Locked On. You can try it for free. Blue Chew is a better, cheaper, faster choice, and I always thank them for being a sponsor of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Segment number two is on the way.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, Raider Nation. This is segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, October 14th, 2019. Your boy Q here with you. Want to talk to you about how the Raiders could build off the success that they've had so far early in the season. Sitting at 3-2 after five games, after the bye week. You see what the Chiefs did against the Texans. They took an L, and hopefully you watched that game. That was a very, very important game. Not only did it show you, again, how to beat the Chiefs, but it also gave you a blueprint of what's coming up in a couple of weeks against the Houston Texans. A very, very good team with a very, very good quarterback. It's going to be a tough out a couple weeks from now in Houston, but that's another game to talk about on another day. But want to talk about the success and how to build off the success that the Raiders have had so far early in the season. And the thing about it is, now that they have an identity, because now it's clear that there is an identity for this team. Earlier in the season, I was wondering, what is the identity? Who is this team? What are they going to do? Now we know what the identity is. We know that it's a ground and pound team. We know it's a team that's not going to stretch the field all day long. It's not going to be one of those where Derek Carr's just going to throw it around the yard all game long and rack up tons of points and or tons of yards and tons of touchdowns and all that. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a heavy emphasis on the run, ball control. Derek Carr's going to throw it around the yard, but again, not like a Patrick Mahomes, not for 400, 500 yards, not four touchdowns a game. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a ball control style game. Now that you know that, and now that we all know that as fans, now, how do you attack the teams that you're going to be playing? And the next couple of weeks are going to be very, very telling. Coming up this week, a tough game in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers against a very elite quarterback. And then you follow it up with the next week going all the way to Houston to play against Deshaun Watson and company. And you just saw them take down the Kansas City Chiefs. They look really, really good as well. Going to be two really, really tough games. So moving forward, you want to see a heavy emphasis, a heavy dose of the run game. Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. They could use all three of those running backs. They can use any combination of those two. I mean, it really doesn't matter. The name of the game is always going to be ball control in this John Gruden offense. And with the Raiders not having a number one wide receiver, and they're just not going to have a number one wide receiver because I don't see them going out and making any move for it. It's just going to be wide receiver by committee. And really, that works. I mean, you don't technically have to have a number one wide receiver. It would be nice, absolutely. It'd be nice to have a go-to guy, but the Raiders don't have that guy. So it's going to be wide receiver by committee. So 1 week, you know, Tyrell Williams will be the feature guy. And that's another key point that you got to remember. Tyrell Williams, you got to hope that he comes back. You're hoping that he returns to action this week. I was actually really surprised that he missed that game against Chicago. Actually, I was surprised that he was out of practice all 3 days. Once he missed that practice day on Friday, I kind of knew that he wasn't going to be playing. But I didn't realize at least that foot injury was as major as it seems right now. So hopefully he returns to action this week. We'll see later on today. Matter of fact, we'll probably hear something about it. If not today, then tomorrow. But 1 week, it'll probably be Tyrell Williams will be the feature guy. Another day, it'll be Darren Waller, who's been pretty consistent throughout the season. But teams are aware of him now, so they're going to be paying a lot of attention to him. There's going to be other guys. You know, Hunter Renfrow is going to have to step up and come up with some big catches. Trevor Davis, how does he continue to evolve into this offense? And Zay Jones. You know, you just made the trade for Zay Jones. How do you get him caught up to speed? What did you do during the off week, during the bye week, to try to get him up to speed? But either way you look at it, there's not a laundry list of big-time wide receivers, but there's casting characters. There's guys that can get it done. And again, I always reference that season with Hugh Jackson when they had a bunch of different guys that were never number one dudes. Remember they had Denarius Moore, Jacoby Ford, Lewis Murphy. You know, that year Jason Campbell got hurt. He was the quarterback, and he ended up getting hurt, and that's when Hugh Jackson went out and made that terrible trade for Carson Palmer. But he never really had a number one guy. But he was able to get creative enough where guys stepped up. One week it'd be one guy, next week it'd be another guy. That's what John Gruden's going to have to do and navigate throughout the rest of the season is just, unless they go out and make a move, which I don't think they're going to do, it's going to have to be wide receiver by committee, it's going to have to be playmaker by committee. And really, throughout the rest of the season, I'd like to start to see a lot more of these younger guys get involved because clearly these younger guys are the future of the franchise. All these guys that have been drafted, all these young guys that have been brought in, including a guy like Zay Jones, who even though they made a trade for him, he's a young cat. You know, he's only been in the league 3 years and he wasn't getting any kind of burn in Buffalo, so it's time to go ahead and put him out there and let him get some burn. And again, man, it's a transition time for this team, but it's a transition time when this team can continue to win ball games. And again, 3-2 after 5 weeks is nothing to shake a stick at. So it's a positive step. Now can these guys take the next step? Now that they've had a week off, now that they've had time to rest and try to heal their bodies, you know, both sides of the ball, the offensive line and defensive line, I mentioned it last week that the Raiders are winning in the trenches. They have to continue to win in the trenches. But as this season goes along, I need to see and I want to see, and I think for this Raiders team to be successful, more of these younger guys need to get more and more involved each and every week. I want to see Max Crosby on the defensive side of the ball. I want to see him where he's playing just about every play because that motor just doesn't stop. And so, again, I may even sacrifice some plays for maybe a Benson Mayo and not get on the field as much as he would like to get on the field. Even though he leads the team in sacks, I might actually not mind seeing him on the sideline if it means that a guy like Max Crosby gets more burn. Hopefully this week Clelin Ferrell comes back from his concussion. And I know a lot of Raider Nation is down on Clelin Ferrell right now because they haven't seen enough yet. It's only been 4 games. That's why he needs to be out there and he needs to be going. Because he has to become that dude. Not the dude he replaced, but he's got to be that dude. He's got to be a stud on the defensive side of the ball. And the more burn he's going to get, the more action he gets, the more acclimated he'll get to the NFL life. And he needs to be out there as much as possible. So you want to see some more from Mo Hurst. You know, I'd really like to start to see more from Mo Hurst and PJ Hall. You know, you can start to let some of these veterans not play as much, like a Jonathan Hankins, even though he's been really good. He's really been good so far this season. I'd like to see P.J. Hall and Mo Hurst in there all the time. You saw what Mo Hurst was able to do. He acted like a finisher against Chicago, didn't he? Getting after the quarterback. I mean, he was in the backfield the whole game. I'd like to see more from him. He led the team in sacks in 2018. I'd like to see him pick up some more sacks. You know, he's got a couple on the season so far. I'd like to see him continue to get more burn, more burn, more burn. Matter of fact, when we didn't see him very much in the preseason and we didn't see very much of him or hear very much of him in training camp, I was wondering what was going on with him. I thought maybe he was in the doghouse. Well, he stepped up in a major way in London. I'd like to see him continue to develop. So, again, the way to build off of where you're at right now is get these young guys, these guys that you plan on having around the team for quite a while, you know, the guys who are the future of the team, start to get them more action. I'd love to see Trayvon Mullen get out there and get a little bit more action. John Gruden had mentioned about Daryl Worley possibly playing a safety position. I want to see how Paul Gunther is going to navigate this, you know, have more defensive backs on the field. There's one thing we know about Paul Gunther and what he wants to do is he wants to use his guys in multiple different positions. He likes guys to be Swiss Army knives. Like LaMarcus Joyner is, where he can play multiple positions. That's what he's clearly looking for from a guy like Daryl Worley. That's what he's going to be looking for all these guys, is to be able to play different positions, kind of just fill different roles when needed so they can stay on the field but have playmakers on the field. So that should be interesting moving forward. You know, fourth round draft pick Isaiah Johnson out of Houston, he may be returning to action this week. Something to pay attention to, see if he gets back in practice. John Gruden hinted at that last week, so we'll see if that happens today or tomorrow or anytime this week. See if he comes back. That's a guy that probably won't get on the field anytime soon, but a guy that they're pretty excited about. So, you know, that should be interesting. Keelan Doss, how does he continue to develop? Does he continue to develop? You know, that's another young dude on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of fans were all fired up about him. A lot of fans were pissed off when the Raiders let him go. And then he ended up going to Jacksonville. Raiders get him back. Can they use him? You know, what do they see in him that they like? You know, start to get him involved a little bit more. If you're not going to have clear-cut number ones all over the field, you just got to be able to use the guys that you have. So there's a lot of nice young parts on this team They just have to get more involved. So really, throughout the rest of the season, I kind of just want to see a youth movement. And I'm not saying I just want to see all the young guys and out there sacrificing games just so you can get the young guys some action. But let these guys, they're going to have to get acclimated. So you're going to have to get them in, sprinkle them in. Even if it's situational, you're going to have to get them in because these guys are the foundation of the team. They're going to be the foundation moving forward, and they just got to get some burn. They absolutely do. So I want to see more of the young guys get more involved with the team moving forward. Every single week until the season is over, there's going to be a game on Sunday or Monday or Thursday that involves the Raiders. I mean, every single week. There is no more off weeks. So it's all go. And the next 2 weeks are going to be tough. Green Bay and then Houston. And then they finally get another home game. So, again, let these young guys start to get some burn. By the end of the season, these guys should be just about veterans. I mean, that's basically what it's going to have to be. They're going to have to be just about veterans. They're going to have to grow up pretty quickly. But John Gruden wanted to build a team. That's how you build the team, and that's how you get them going, is getting them in the game and giving them some action. You've seen some young guys step up in a major way already early in the season. How much more can the young guys step up throughout the rest of the season is what we'll find out. Coming up in segment number three, your call straight off the Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Final segment of the day on this Monday, October 14th, 2019. Going to take your call straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with De La Sherm calling out of Orange County, calling in for the first time. That makes him a new booty. Calling in to give his thoughts on Sunday with no Raider football and a couple quick thoughts on the team. Here he is, De La Sherm out of Orange County.
What's up, Q? The boy De La Sherm from Orange County, California. Much love, Lutter Podcast, first time caller. I'll tell you this, man. NFL Sundays is not the same without Raiders. Other than that, everybody needs to stop talking down on Carr. He's doing really good, has a high completion percentage. Yeah, he has short passes, but hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Also, man, we need to use Hunter Renfrow a lot more. That boy is key. I think he's proven himself. He can do it. Let's get this dub against Green Bay. Raider Nation, much love. Raiders! Peace.
Thank you for the call, my man. Welcome to the family. Definitely appreciate you. Hunter Renfrow, in my opinion, will never be a high-quantity receiver, but in my opinion, he's going to have quality catches. There's going to be times where they need big catches, big first downs, and that's where Hunter Renfrow is going to come in a major way. I think that they're going to start using him a little bit more in the red zone, too. That's where I'll expect to see him, some of those underneath routes. I can see Hunter Renfrow coming up in a major way there, but he'll never have big numbers as far as receiving goes, but he'll have quality catches as far as receiving goes, in my opinion. Thank you for that call, my man. Appreciate that. Next up is Chris in Oklahoma City by way of Stockton. He's calling in to respond to a call he heard last week from Raider Izzy. Here he is, Chris in Oklahoma City.
Yo, what up, Hughes? This is Chris out of Oklahoma City. Hey, I just wanted to call and respond to Friday's podcast. Actually, I'm calling on Friday as I'm listening to some of the calls, but Raider Izzy brought up a good point about if we should make moves, talked about our blocking, and I totally agree with all of that. I have two forms of thought here, and I'm torn. So, like, I kind of got a catch-22 going on in my head, if you will, if that's the right wording for it. You know, we could go out and make a trade for a wide receiver. We can go out and get another defensive back. We can go out and get anybody, right? Linebacker. We have holes everywhere on our team. We would all agree with that. We're doing well with what we have, but we have holes. The problem is that the elite players that we would want to go get, like Jalen Ramsey, like Diggs, if he was available, even Minka, when he was available, is that we are sacrificing at least a first-round pick unless Mike Mayock can have some Mayock magic. That's my new term for when Mike Mayock does something dope. It's Mayock magic. But with that being said, is it worth the sacrifice to give up those picks? I get it. You could, you know, Clee Farrell may not be great. I think it's a long shot, but Jonathan Abram may not be great. But That's the risk you take getting a fresh body that you're not paying a high dollar amount over a couple of, you know, over three or four seasons, allowing them to develop. Do we get rid of that going into Vegas? Or do we go out and get a, you know, some of the guys I mentioned, Jalen Ramsey, Stephon Diggs, You know, it's a very difficult position to be in. I do think we need to go grab a number one wide receiver. I don't want it to be at the sacrifice of our picks, though. I'm worried about losing our picks. I think that those are the most important for our team right now. And I also understand that it's a risk. Raider Nation, what do you think? Q, what do you guys think? I would imagine a lot of people are in the same boat as me. I'm out.
I don't see them making any big moves before that October 29th trade deadline. I just don't see that happening. I think those number one picks are too valuable for the Raiders at this point. I was all in on Jalen Ramsey, but I don't think that's going to happen because Jacksonville's price tag is just way, way too high. But we'll see. You know, as the deadline gets closer, we'll see how much teams really want to trade guys and how much they don't. Stephon Diggs, you see the big day he had for Minnesota yesterday, right? Yeah, I don't think that they're going to let him go anywhere either. I think all is good in Minnesota now. Thank you for that call, my man. Appreciate you. Raider Rob, calling out of Pennsylvania. He's calling in to talk about some of the hot topics that he heard over the summer on the podcast. Here he is, Raider Rob in Pennsylvania.
Q, Raider Rob, PGH, Pennsylvania. Hey, I don't want to talk about the game. Enough's been said. We did our talking on the field. But the one national media guy that no one has mentioned this week that I've heard is Rex Ryan. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Rex Ryan on ESPN was literally yelling at the TV set screen saying that the Raiders made the worst trade in NFL history. NFL history. And that Mr. Mack was going to be introduced to Mr. Gruden. And by after I heard that, man, I was ready to run through a wall. It's just insane that the lack of respect that we've gotten since the win. Since it's a bye week, though, I want to reflect on some of the hot topics that was this summer and in the preseason, and one of the hot topics was a Kichi Assembly's interview. And I don't remember you guys recall that, but he was saying how Cable was soft, Gruden lost the locker room, Cable couldn't coach, and they were using a zone blocking scheme, and that was a big conflict between him and the coaching staff. Well, let's ask Kichi Assembly how the 0-6 Jets are and the two touchdown scoring Jets are. I'd love to talk to him now. Point is, maybe he was just too soft for Cable scheme. Then the other one, other topics that we talked about was MVPs in preseason. The MVP so far this year has got to be Buckner and Cable. They have the Lions playing at a high intense pace that I didn't see either one of them coming. Then we talked about the Raider mystique. And I think it's been answered in the first five games. I think the Raider mystique is the mentality of us against the nation and Gruden, or I'm sorry, us against the world. And Gruden has all 53 players, the practice squad players, everybody believing that the odds are stacked against us. You listen to any of his interviews, he throws some digs at the media, whether it's about the schedule and the travel miles or the lack of respect his players are getting. And even look at his post-game interview. He knew damn well where that camera was when he turned around and damn near looked right into it and said, you know, we can win in every effing time zone. I mean, he has everybody buying in. So I have one favor for you, Q. When we start talking about Jacksonville, the last game played at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, I think you need to start rephrasing it and putting it as the last regular season game ever played, if you know what I mean. I'm just saying, buddy, something special. Let's keep this train rolling.
Yeah, man, we were all really, you know, down on Tom Cable and that offensive line. We knew that it was going to be an issue, but it hasn't been an issue yet this year. And Tom Cable's done a heck of a job, especially since both of his guards. He had two starting guards that were out, and still one is still out with Gabe Jackson. He's supposed to be returning to action this week. We'll see if that happens, something John Gruden talked about. But, yeah, Tom Cable and that offensive line have been outstanding, and Brenston Buckner and that defensive line have been outstanding. I said it last week when I said that the Raiders are winning in the trenches. That's exactly what they've been doing. And I will say, for a while now on the podcast, I've been actually saying that December 15th game against the Jacksonville Jaguars is the last regular season game at the Oakland Coliseum. I've been saying that for a while, but I'm not ready to start talking about that P word yet, but I understand what you're talking about. I understand where you're going with that. But yeah, I've been saying that for a while. Definitely appreciate that call, my man. Next up, Big H Raider. He's calling in to ask a question about this week's game versus the Packers. Here he is, Big H Raider.
What up, Q? This your boy, Big H Raider, calling out of the 916, Sacktown. Quick question. With the Raiders having 2 weeks to prepare for the Packers, and the Packers coming off a short week, playing Monday night against the Lions, do you think that gives the Raiders an advantage? I mean, I think it's going to be a really tough game for the Raiders. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. So, anyway, I just want to know what your thought is on that. I know the Raiders traveling to London a week early gave them a significant advantage against the Bears. I'm wondering if the 2 weeks to prepare for Green Bay and then Green Bay coming off a short week playing Monday night against the Lions, like I mentioned, will give us an advantage. Hoping, man. You know what I'm saying? We need all the wins we can get in this playoff mix. All right. Appreciate what you do, Q. Love the show, man. Big H Raider out.
Well, I don't know how much the week off is going to help them, but I know it's not going to hurt them. And I also know that with the Packers playing tonight and having that short week, this is almost one of those trap-type games. This is almost one of those setup games coming up for the Raiders where with the week off that they've had and the preparation that Jon Gruden has had all the time he's had to prepare, this could be one of those games where they sneak up and get Green Bay. Now, it's still going to be tough because you got Aaron Rodgers, and, well, Aaron Rodgers, and they've been playing really good ball, but you bring us some good points there. Definitely appreciate that call. Next up, Sean in Salt Lake City. He's calling in to talk about a player that he says he's not hearing their name enough, or at least not getting enough love, so he's going to give some love. And then he actually calls out some old-time listeners to the show, wondering where they're at. Here he is, Sean in Salt Lake City.
What's up, Raider Nation? What's up, Q? This is Sean from Salt Lake City. I'll keep it kind of short and sweet. Just been listening the past couple weeks, and I just don't feel like anybody's giving enough love to Eric Harris. I mean, this dude came in, after everyone's complaining about Curtis Riley, I mean, rightfully so, that dude is awful. He came in, and he's sealed the win versus the Colts, had a big fourth down conversion, almost a fumble, even though it wasn't, but, I mean, that happens, but got the fourth and one for us. I mean, he's been playing solid. I mean, I can't think of, there haven't been that many deep passes gotten on us because of, I feel like because of his play, and the safety plays has been amazing with him and Carl Joseph. Everyone talks about Joseph, but we ain't talking about Eric Harris. So I just wanted to call and give him some quick love. And also, like, where are the OGs at? Where's Raider Baconator? Most unknown, Vader Raider, Akeem in Oakland, most unknown. Where are you guys at, man? I haven't heard from you guys in a while. I hope everyone's going well, and I hope we're all just getting excited for the season because it's been a good one. Anyways, see you later, Raiders. Out.
Eric Harris definitely deserves some love, and again, he's a guy that should be able to play all the time. I mean, he's really earned that spot. Curtis Riley, I never ever want to see him on the field again. As long as it's outside of special teams, I don't want to see him on the field. He can play on special teams, but I don't want to see him in that safety position. He's really wore his spot out real quickly, but Eric Harris has stepped up and done a really good job, made some big-time plays already for the Raiders, so yeah, I definitely feel where you're coming from on that. I want to see how Daryl Worley is brought into this fold as well, something Jon Gruden talked about last week, something I talked about in segment number two. Just kind of want to see what he's going to do, what his role is going to be moving forward. That should be pretty interesting. Thank you for that call, my man. Appreciate that. Up next, T3 Raider Facts, calling in with his five quick hits of the day. This call is actually from Thursday, but still a really good call from T3. Here he is.
This is T3 Raider Facts with my five quick hits for the day. Number one, it'll be fun watching the games this weekend and seeing the other teams beat up on each other. I'll be keeping my eyes on the talking heads and seeing how and in which direction they push the needle. I also want to see where the national narrative is for the Raiders right now. There may be the shuffling of the deck in order to add one or two more complimentary pieces, so let's see what happens during the off week. Number two, all right, Raider Nation, it's time to pump the brakes on all these big trade talks. People are wanting to bring in a big number one receiver. Well, I just don't see that happening this year. Stephon Diggs, not going to happen. A.J. Green, in the words of his former teammate Chad Johnson, child, please. The Raider offense was predicated for one thing with the young stud running back and a true number one and number two receiver. The game plan has had to change, but it's doing pretty well. Those two first-round draft picks carry a lot of weight right now, so I say stick with what you've got. Jalen Ramsey is the only major piece I would consider, but I think that asking price is simply going to be way too much. Number three, Nation, do you remember who I was talking about all summer long? And then once the season started, we were hearing props given to pretty much every other member of the team except for one guy. So let me jump back up on my bandwagon right now and yell out the name of the guy who's been the absolute rock of the team. Hashtag Simply61, Rodney Hudson. Number four, let me say that I love both Jay Gruden and John Gruden, but I'm not sure I want to see them both parading around on the same sideline. Jay could very well end up as the head coach in Cincinnati, but I think one Gruden is plenty and more than enough for Vegas to handle, because part of me is already starting to transition in my mind to the Death Star. Number five, here's a question, and maybe no one on this podcast knows the answer. Can any of our new guys throw the ball? Josh Jacobs, Trevor Davis, Zay Jones, Hunter Renfrow? I'm just thinking about another wrinkle or two that we could throw in there. That's it for today, Raider Nation. Q, I know you're not big on London, unless maybe we could find a way to raise a fund to send you over there. You feel me? That would be pretty fashionable, don't you think? And there's only one thing that beats fashion, Raider passion, baby. Enjoy your weekend. I'm out.
Thank you for that call, my man. And to answer your question, Josh Jacobs, he can throw the ball. There's something that I think is going to be incorporated in John Gruden's offense at some point. You know, he likes the flea flicker already. He's done that multiple times. But, yeah, I think Josh Jacobs could definitely throw the rock. I've actually seen him. He was a quarterback, I want to say, maybe in high school. Was it high school he was a quarterback? Anyway, I know he could throw the ball. I could picture John Gruden using him similar to what the Chargers used to do with LT when he used to throw that little halfback pass. I could definitely see that coming. So that's the answer to your question right there, T3. Thank you for that. And the final call is from Eric from the 707. He's calling in to talk about the excitement of the Raiders winning in London against the Bears and then talks about a way that the Raiders can beat Green Bay coming up this week. Here he is, Eric from the 707.
Yo, what up, Q? What up, Raider Nation? It's Eric from the 707. Hey, man, I haven't called in a while, but I just wanted to call and express my excitement over the last game. I love that ground-and-pound style, and I think that's exactly what's going to get us through against Green Bay after the bye. They've got a bottom five-ranked run defense. And if we get Gabe Jackson back, we're going to pound those MFers and keep the ball out of Rodgers' hands, and that's going to be the key to success. Also, I just wanted to tell a quick story from, actually, this was week two. That tells you how long it's been since I called in. Man, I was on my way to work in the morning, and I saw a truck full of Raiders stuff. You could tell he was going to the game. He had the Raiders flag in the back. I pulled up next to him on the highway, threw up the O. We went back and forth for a while, thumping our chests, cheering. Maybe not the safest thing, but that just shows how united Raider Nation is, and that's why I love our nation. It's the only nation there is. And I just want to say, through the good times and bad, we all got to stick together, guys. We can disagree or agree on points. But let's not get to bashing each other and cussing each other on social media. I've seen a little too much of that, all right? It's okay to disagree. That's what makes us fans. And that happens sometimes when you got people that love the same team so much. Anyways, that's all for today. And let's go. Have a good day.
Definitely a way that the Raiders could win this game this week. It's going to be tough. You're playing the Green Bay Packers. We'll obviously dive deeper into the game later on this week. Also coming up this week, we'll have the crossover edition. That'll be on Wednesday, talking all things Green Bay. But look, the Packers' run defense is not very good. So I do expect to see a heavy dose of Josh Jacobs on Sunday against Green Bay. But like I say, we'll dive deeper into the game, talk about exactly how to win this game and how to keep number 12 on the sideline. That'll be a major part of it. Got to keep number 12 on the sideline or else he could burn you, and it don't take long. It don't take too many passes for that dude to get into the end zone. But thank you so much for all those calls. Good stuff. Let's get ready for another good week of shows, another good week of preparation for this game on Sunday. It's going to be a tough one against the Green Bay Packers, but it'll be a fun one for sure. So until next time, Raider Nation, until Tuesday, as always, just win, baby.